Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the first Sunday in Lent comes from our Old Testament reading of Genesis chapter 22. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Thus far the text. Father and son both make their way up the mountain. It's been a long, hard journey, and now they've come to the end of it. And there is no other way. This is it. And it couldn't have ended at any other place. It's always been here, always right here on this mountain of the Lord. And the father knew this from the very beginning. Most certainly the son did too. So here they go to do what must be done. And oddly enough, the son's whole life is pointed to this one time, this one place. He was an only son, and his father loved him dearly. His birth was a miracle. Nothing like it had ever been seen before. This was a birth built out of a promise that was too outlandish to be real. This was a promise that, when first heard, was believed in faith, but soon was forgotten, was doubted, was thought to be a lie. And then, miraculously, here's this son, this miracle son. But from the moment of his conception, one could almost guess where it was going to end. It had to end with sacrifice. It had to end with blood spilt. It's almost as if the son's fate had been sealed and decided since before the foundations of the world. And so they head up the mountain. Both of them have their own job to do. One will slaughter, the other will be slaughtered. One will sacrifice, the other will be sacrificed. And the father tells his son that God will provide a lamb. Of course he will. God always provides. What he provides, though, is always something unexpected. God always fulfills his promise. He just does it in a way that sinful man would never dream of. But despite the fact that God will provide, the son still has to carry a great and ugly burden up that mountain, foreshadowing what's actually going to transpire once they reach the crest of that hill. Almost adding insult to injury, the altar of his own death is placed strapped to his own back, wood for sacrifice laid heavy upon the son. And he's pointed up toward the mountain and told, "Don't stop until you reach the top of it." And so he does. His only question has already been asked, and it's been answered. Now, oddly silent, weirdly reserved, almost as if he's already resigned himself to what's going to take place, the son does as he has been commanded. And this trek is all because of sin. That's the purpose for all sacrifices, the reason for all sacrifices. Sin calls out for blood, it calls out for death, and it will not be quenched until it's drank its full. For sin cannot be forgotten about. It can't be left down there at the bottom of the mountain as if it's never happened, as if it isn't real, as if somehow God is just going to turn a blind eye to it all and just let it sit there unaccounted for. We wish that sin could be dealt with this way, swept away as if there's no consequences, but it can't. Sooner or later, it's going to have to be dealt with, and wouldn't you know it, the day's that day. So the father, too, he carries his own implements up that mountain, and although they don't seem to be quite as weighty, quite as burdensome, they certainly are. For the father knows what he must do, what must be done. He knows that once he gets to the top of that mountain, he must lay his own son down upon that altar, bind him up good, bind him like a sacrificial lamb, and then drive a cold, hard piece of judgment into him. A sacrifice must be made, and it can be none other than his son, his one and his only son. And certainly that can't be an easy thing to do. sacrificing one's own son. But when sin must be atoned for, when sin must be taken away, when sin must be covered up and washed with blood, the Father does what must be done. Up the hill they climb. And you would think that there would still be that lingering question, is there another way? But the Son's already asked this question of the Father, and seeing that this is his cup to bear, he entrusts himself to the will of the Father. Surely he wants a way out of it. Who wouldn't want a way out of this? He knows what's going to take place, what's going to transpire once they reach that bloody summit. But this is a Son unlike any other. Any other son would fight and scream, would cry and beg. Any other son would bargain for his own life, throwing anyone and everyone else up to the death that's in store for him. Any other son would attempt to figure out some way, any way to get out of this horrible predicament sentenced upon him. But not this son. What the Father wills, the Son will do. What a shameful burden for the Son to bear. To know that he carries the instrument of his own death upon his own back. To know that when he reaches the top of this mountain, he will die a horrible sinner's death at the hand of his own Father. To know that he is being treated as some sacrificial lamb that's being led to his own slaughter. And the worst part of it, the part that would make all other sons defiant to the bitter end, is that he doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve to have to carry this burden on his back. He doesn't deserve to have to lay down his own life as a sacrifice. He doesn't deserve to have his Father bind him to a piece of wood and lay the blow that will kill him and end his life. But the Son sets his face like a flint, takes one step after another up the hill, up to his death, for this, inevitably, was why he was born. And the Father, he goes up the mountain too. His mind has been made up long ago. He does not turn back. He does not look for an excuse or another way. There is no other way. He loads the burden upon his son's back, and he points his face toward the mountain, and with a resolution of stone, he heads up there to the place of sacrifice. He leads his son, his one and his only son, this son whose birth was a miracle, this son who is innocent of all the burdens that he carries, this son whom he loves. But now the Father doesn't treat him like a son. He treats him like a sacrificial lamb. He treats him as if he's guilty of the sins of the whole entire world and deserves the punishment, this wrath, this horrific death, even though he doesn't. For the Father's will is that a sacrifice is made. The Father's will is that a burden is carried up there, up to the top of that mountain and away from the rest of the world. The Father's will is that God's wrath is quenched. And if that means that atonement must be made through the death of this innocent son so that God's almighty judgment won't be laid upon another, then so be it. His one and his only beloved son will die. As they reach the top, there isn't anything left to be done than what they came here to do. It appears as if there will be no 11th hour pardon come ringing in from the judge. No stay of execution on this fateful day. The wood is taken off of the son and constructed into an altar of sacrifice. It's all come down to this. And surely the son could run and hide. Surely he could stop this if he wanted to. Something could be said. Something could be done to change it all. But none of that happens. The son is silent. He knows his place. He knows his purpose. He knows what must be done. And the father binds his son to the altar, hands and feet fastened to the wood that will be the place where he draws his last breath. And yet still, not a word is spoken. Not a curse, not a complaint, not a lament comes bleeding out of this sacrificial son. Here he lies, like a lamb, awaiting his death. And amazingly, he says nothing. and the sacrifice is ready. And so the Father raises his hand, the hand that will lay that final blow and render that final judgment. The only one that can stop this inevitable strike is God, God himself. If God wants to stop the Son from dying this horrible death, now is it. There's no time to spare. The hour has come. Call out now, God, to stop it if you want. The Son's life is in your hands. And then it happens. The Father's hand comes down, and the Son's, he dies. The Father did not stay his own hand. There was no ram with his horns caught in a thicket this time. There was no replacement to be bound upon the sacrificial altar in exchange for the life of this innocent son. The Father was right. God would supply a lamb for sacrifice, and so he did. No fluffy, white little lamb this time. No animal to shed his blood. No Old Testament sacrifice pointing forward to something newer and greater. The something greater has now arrived. The something greater is the Son. The Son has always been the lamb of sacrifice since before the foundation of the world. As we gaze upon this scene in our text for today, all that there is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, nailed upon that very cross that he carried to Calvary, God's holy mountain. All that there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world with a twisted crown of thorns smashed upon his head, with nails driven through his hands and feet, with spear plunged into his side as blood and water come gushing out into baptismal fonts that wash us clean and communion chalices that give us the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. All that there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world dead upon a cross. That and the Father, who was the one who provided for himself the Lamb. And he did so in order that that Lamb could take away the sin of the world, make atonement for the sin of the world, and free the world from the very wrath of God that this Lamb received on the cross. God the Father sacrificed his own Son so that Abraham and Isaac, so that you and I, so that all of humanity could receive the gifts of that sacrifice, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that the assaults of the devil could no longer have any hold over us, so that the day in which we die, we might know for certain that we have eternal life through the death and resurrection of this Son, this Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This mount of sacrifice, the only sacrifice that means anything, this mount of the Lord is known as Calvary. But just like Abraham said, it's also known as the Lord will provide. For provide he did. A lamb to take away your sins. The same lamb to take away mine. In the name of Jesus.